jump in. My brother. Anyways, I think you know what to do from here.
Jumping in. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Good.
Doing well. So I appreciate Pastor Doug allowing me to speak once again. I think he likes to torture you guys every once in a while, so he asked me to speak, so bear with me. Hey, do you guys love to worship?
Yes.
Did you enjoy this morning? I'm standing up here and I'm looking out, and whether you were up here, it was amazing seeing everybody up here, but everybody in the seats, everybody standing, everybody worshiping, I just see the presence of God on us as a church, as the body of Christ. And it's so amazing to me that anywhere, at any time, we could come together as individuals or as a body and worship Him in spirit and truth, and He shows up. I saw the Spirit on us this morning, and I saw some liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we could just worship Him. Can we give God a hand clap? He's so good. He's so faithful. So appreciate being able to worship Him freely. Praise God. So I believe it was earlier this year, I believe it was in January, I had the opportunity to teach and preach a sermon. It was called The Dangers of Unforgiveness. Who is here for that? Anybody remember that? The Dangers of Unforgiveness. Those of you that were here, I have a question for you. Those that weren't here, I'm going to have a question for you also. But first, those who are here, how are you doing with forgiving others? How's it going? Better. Is it easy? Is it struggle at times? How are you doing? And my question for those of you who weren't here is, how are you doing with forgiving others? I want to challenge us this morning to always be mindful of where we're at in our walk with God and who He's calling us to be as an individual and as a person, as a church, as a believer, and being called to be a people who forgive. So how are you doing with forgiving others? So when we've been wronged, when we've been mistreated, injustice comes, somebody does something that offends us, forgiveness should come naturally. As believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, forgiveness should come naturally. And we know, as children of God, we know that we belong to Him. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that His nature as God is to be a forgiving God. And therefore, our nature as His children should be people who forgive. So forgiveness should come naturally. It's in the act of forgiving others that we express our love to God and our love to others. It's in action. It's in doing. It's an expression of our love to God and the love to others as we're called to do. Forgiveness is an expression of God's character. So forgiving someone isn't justifying the wrong. We're not saying, you know what, you did me wrong, Demetrius, but it's okay. Just do it again. We're not justifying the wrong. They might not even know they did us wrong. What we're doing is we're simply choosing to love. We're choosing to forgive them. So even though I say forgiveness should come naturally, forgiveness is one of the hardest things we can ever do. It's difficult, right? But as we walk out our faith, as we have relationship with God, as we grow and as we mature in Him, it becomes easier. You may notice at times that it comes quicker. And you're like, this guy, he said something about me, really offended me. That guy passed me on the freeway and gave me the bird. This person cut me off. This person did this. This person did that. And it comes easier that we're going, okay, Lord, I'm going to forgive. And there may be a time that we have a specific person who offends us, who sins against us, who does us wrong time after time after time again, and we forgive them, and we forgive them, and we forgive them, and then we get to the point and you're like, I'm done. I'm not forgiving that guy anymore. He's wronged me too many times. He's hurt me. He's stolen money from me. He's done me wrong. He's run my name through the mud. I'm done, God. I ain't doing it no more. my face turn red? Those are the times that we have to seek after God and go, help me, God, because I can't do it on my own. I want to punch this guy in the face. I got some choice words for you, buddy. And then God goes, what are you doing? I don't know, Lord. I was just thinking out loud. Those are the times that we follow after God closer and we pray and ask for his help. He'll help us through the process. So even though at times it comes easier, the big things come and it's hard to forgive. But we're not called to be, hey, after 10 times, it's okay, you don't have to forgive anymore. Or if somebody does something specific, horrible, terrible, it's okay, you don't have to forgive. I don't see that in the Word of God. I see forgive. Forgive, because God is a God who forgives. If he's not a God who forgives, then what chance do we have? But because he forgives us, we can forgive others. So we see Peter, he comes to Jesus at some point, he says, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Like, that's a good number, right? And Jesus says, I don't say 7, I say 70 times 7. 70 times 7, that's a big number. But what I believe Jesus is saying is we are to forgive over and over and over and over and over again, because that's the character of God. Forgive over and over and over again. It'll be one of the hardest things we could ever do. So look at somebody next to you and ask them, how are you doing with forgiving others? And don't answer, but ask. Ask the question, don't answer. How are you doing with forgiving others? I want you to contemplate that question and be asking God throughout today and throughout the week, is there an offense that I'm holding on to, that I haven't let go, that I haven't given to you, that I haven't forgiven somebody? And just let God speak to your heart and stir you in those areas. Back on, this was almost 20 years ago, on October 2nd of 2006, a man entered an Amish schoolhouse shooting 10 young girls, killing 5 of them before he took his own life. Does anybody remember that? Guy went in, I believe it was in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. He enters a schoolhouse full of young Amish girls and shoots 10 of them. 5 of them died. Then he took his own life. Something that's truly amazing is the response of not only the parents of those children, the Amish parents, but the Amish community came together and they publicly forgave the shooter. That is amazing. I remember hearing that and thinking, and I was a Christian, and I'm like, yeah, we should forgive, but I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. They publicly forgave the shooter. They also befriended the shooter's parents. So there was Terry Roberts, is the shooter's mother. And she said in an interview, she said, her and her husband found solace in the most unexpected places. An Amish neighbor, Henry, who knocked at the door and made sure they knew no one blamed them for their son's crime. It felt like the grace of God walked through that door, Robert said. A few days later, some of the parents of the victims even showed up to their son's funeral. She says, on such a sad day of putting our son to rest, and to have these parents show concern for us, they had just buried their own daughters a day or two before. How could they have compassion on us? The parents of the man who committed this crime. And it was genuine compassion. Amazing story of forgiveness. More recent, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, still fresh in our minds. Erica Kirk, on the day televised the memorial of her husband, she publicly forgave the shooter. Did you guys watch that? Amazing act of forgiveness. How do you do that? It's only by the grace of God. We see in Acts, biblical story, Stephen, who's being stoned to death, Stephen cries out and says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Jesus, while hanging on the cross, being crucified for your sins and mine, he forgives. He says, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Amazing stories of forgiving others. Pastor Doug, he's been preaching a sermon series titled, "God Meant It for Good, A Journey in the Life of Joseph." I'm going to continue with that series. The title of my sermon today is The Power of Forgiveness. So in the story of Joseph, we see one of the greatest examples of forgiveness. Doug's been preaching about it. I hope that you guys gone through and read the story of Joseph. I believe it starts in chapter 37, goes through chapter 50. I encourage you to read it and read it a couple times. It's amazing. It's one of the greatest examples of forgiveness. God chose to do something great with Joseph. But it wasn't because Joseph was great. It's because God's great. God chooses to use you, to use me, to accomplish a purpose. It may be something spectacular like Joseph's story. It may not. But in the kingdom of God, it's spectacular. But it isn't because we're great or we're good. It's because God is good. We're called to be faithful. Joseph was faithful. So starting in Genesis 37, the story of Joseph begins. And I'll recap it a little bit. Doug's been preaching on it, so you should be familiar with it. Through this story, we see that God was with Joseph every step of the way. God gives Joseph revelation through two dreams. His brothers are jealous. They hate him. They want to kill him, but they sell him into slavery. He goes into Egypt as a slave, but he finds favor with Potiphar, and he's placed in charge of Potiphar's house. He's still a slave, though, but he's got a place of position. Potiphar's wife lies, accuses him falsely. He gets thrown in prison. While in prison, he finds favor with the jailer. He's still in prison, but he's placed kind of in charge. And then he's forgotten, and he's left in prison. But finally, Pharaoh needs a dream interpreted. He finds favor with Pharaoh, and he's placed in charge over all of Egypt. So in Joseph's life, we see ups and downs. We see the highs and lows. We see the peaks and valleys, right? Joseph gets a dream. He gets sold into slavery. He finds favor with Potiphar. He gets thrown in prison. Finds favor with Pharaoh. Ups and downs, highs and lows. You ever looked at your life and saw the highs? We typically praise God. Thank you, God. You're so good. You're so great. And if you've ever been in life where you've been in the lows, the valleys, and things are difficult and there's attack, we should be, and we do sometimes, we still praise God. We count it all joy because we know he's doing it for good. But it's not easy. Usually we're praying, oh, God, help me. I don't want to be here. I don't want to go through this. Help me. Here's the important part. In our highs and in our lows, like Joseph, we know that God is with us. God was with Joseph. So back to Joseph, we see that he interprets Pharaoh's dream. He finds favor with Pharaoh, and he's put in charge over all of Egypt. He spends the first 7 years of plenty preparing for the next 7 years of famine. So we get to the place in the story where the famine sets in across all the earth. If you have your Bibles, I pray that you do, whether it's electronically or not, open up to Genesis chapter 42 with me. Genesis chapter 42. We're going to be looking at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Now Joseph was the ruler over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. After all this time, we see that in this famine, it brings a fulfillment to the dreams that God gave him, to the promises that God has spoken over him. His brothers bow down with their face to the ground. You remember the dream? But check this out. Joseph doesn't immediately reveal himself. He doesn't go, "Ha ha! I told you! I told you you'd bow down! You didn't believe me! Woo-hoo-hoo!" He didn't do that. He kept it quiet. He kept it quiet. He does some things here. I don't have time to unpack it all for chapters 42, 43, and 44. But it's amazing. You should check it out. Read through it. There's some amazing things going on there. Joseph's doing some things, and he's taking his time. And I truly believe he's just simply being faithful to what God is doing and wanting him to do. But he doesn't reveal himself. He almost, in a sense, plays some games. He's calling, "You guys came here to spy. You guys are spies." "No, we're not spies." He learns that he has a younger brother, Benjamin, and he wants to see Benjamin. So he takes Simeon and says, "I'm holding Simeon. You go back home. Here's all the stuff you bought. Here's food." He hides money back in their bags. They don't even know it. They're thinking they paid. He gives the money back, sends them on their way, and tells them, "I'll give you Simeon back if you come back with Benjamin." So they come back with Benjamin. And then he plays some games. There's something there. Check it out. I'm not gonna break it down, partly because I don't even know. But there's some nuggets there. It's good. It gets me thinking. But he hides a silver cup, has somebody hide the silver cup in Benjamin's bag, and then he catches Benjamin and wants to take him as a slave and says, "You guys can go back, you're free to go, but he's staying with me." And his brothers won't have it because they know their father will not survive losing another son. They know that the sin they did against Joseph, how it almost killed their father. And there was no way they were going back without him. So we get to chapter 45. Turn to 45 with me. Portion of the story we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be reading through verses 1 through 15. So they're saying, you know, we're not leaving Benjamin. We can't. Take us instead. They're telling the story how it'll kill their father. So in verse 1 of 45, it says, "Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried, 'Have everyone get out from me.' So there was no man with them when Joseph made himself known to his brothers." He makes himself known. And here it comes. Here it comes. Here comes the hatred. Here comes the accusations. Here comes the anger. Here comes the condemnation. Right? Here it comes, right? He's going to let his brothers have it after all that happened. Everything that he went through that stemmed from them selling him into slavery. Here it comes. Or does it? Let's continue to read. Verse 2. "Joseph wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it." He doesn't accuse them. He loves them. He expresses his love to them by hugging them, crying on them, kissing them, revealing himself to him, right? After everything that had happened as a result of what they did, Joseph forgives. I have three main points for you this morning I want you to take away. And they'll be up here. You could write them down or take photos of it. But point number one, forgiveness begins with God's perspective. Forgiveness begins with God's perspective. So Joseph didn't focus on the betrayal. He He sought after God's perspective. And he shows us what happens when we choose God's perspective over revenge. Instead of, I got to get even, it's about revenge. It's about justice. It's about what's right. I'm going to treat them the way they treated me, maybe even worse. It's not about that. He focuses not on that. He focuses on God's perspective. God, what are you doing in this circumstance? And what are you calling me to do? How should I act? He focuses on that. He trusted that God would work it for good. In Romans 8:28, I believe it's listed up here, says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If you're struggling with forgiving someone, if there's some unforgiveness, some broken relationships that just been that way, whether recent or it's been that way for years, I want to encourage you to spend some time this today and this week. Be seeking God and asking for his perspective. Be asking him for help, but ask him, Lord, what's going on here? What are you wanting me to learn? Where are you needing me to grow? Sometimes we get stuck in that unforgiveness and we don't move. We just get stuck there. And God just waits, says, all right, you let me know when you're ready. But we don't progress. We just get stuck. We're stuck in the past. We need God's perspective because sometimes it's that little glimpse of what his plan is that we could go, okay, I see now. And we could submit. And we could follow. And healing can take place. Amen? We need God's perspective. When we get God's perspective, we know at the very least, because we love God, that he's working it out for our good. He's working it out for good for those who love him. You guys love God? He's going to work it out for good. But part of life is we go through life. We go through difficulties sometimes, through trials, through tribulations, but we remain faithful. And God will work it for our good. Maybe through the offense and the process of forgiving, God is growing and maturing you. I guarantee he is. He's growing and maturing us if we're willing to grow and mature in him. And maybe through your forgiveness, God is expressing his love to that person who wronged you, which brings them to salvation. So sometimes it's bigger than us, and it's about what God wants to do with others. So let's not miss out on what God's looking to do through us and in us because we're holding on to unforgiveness. Let's forgive and walk freely with God, with Christ, and be a part of the plan. And see others, whether family members or coworkers or friends or strangers, come into the relationship with Jesus Christ because we're being faithful to walk according to his word. Let's continue here. Verse 3, I'm going to read 3 through 15. Bear with me. It says, then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his household and ruler over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will also provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come, and you and your household and all that you have would be impoverished. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. He kissed all his brothers and wept on them. And afterward, his brothers talked with him. That was a lot of verses, huh? All right. Time to wake up after I lullabied you to sleep with the monotone reading of Scripture. That's good, though. It's an amazing story here. So notice how Joseph, he doesn't just bring up the offense of them selling him to slavery to make a point. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when we forgive people, we'll forgive them as long as they repent? We'll forgive them, but first they need to know how they did me wrong. We'll forgive them, but I'm going to let them know that I was offended. Joseph doesn't do that. Joseph doesn't bring it up because they already knew what they'd done. Joseph just forgives them. He didn't even say, I forgive you. He showed his forgiveness through his actions. He did mention the offense, but it was simply to comfort them. In verse 5, he comforts them. He says, now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves. And he goes on to explain God's purpose and plan, because he knew God's perspective. Through verse 5, he says, for God sent me before you to preserve life. There's a reason, there's a purpose. If Joseph didn't do his part, this wouldn't have been fulfilled through him. His family's life was preserved because of what God was doing in and through Joseph. In verse 7, he says, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. So repeat after me. Forgiveness begins, with God's perspective. Forgiveness begins with God's perspective. Let's be asking for God's perspective. Point number 2. Forgiveness releases the past. Forgiveness releases the past. We see that Joseph, he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it. And we see in verse 14 and 15, then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. He kissed all his brothers and wept on them. There was forgiveness taking place, right? So when Joseph's brothers stood before him, he didn't condemn them. He didn't cast them into prison. He didn't kick them out of his presence. He wept. He forgave. The past wrongs and the hurts melted away for Joseph and his brothers. I would think that his brothers lived with what they've done all those years. It had to weigh heavy on them, especially when they saw how it affected their father. They lived with that. Joseph obviously lived with it. He lived through it. But all the past hurts, all the past wrongs melted away because he forgave them. Forgiveness means choosing to let go of the right to get even. We say the right to get even, that's a worldly concept. Somebody wrongs us, we have the right to get even. It's not a godly concept. We're called to forgive and let go. But forgiveness means choosing to let go of the right to get even. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Holding on to past offenses causes bitterness and keeps us in bondage. We can't let go. We can't forgive. And there's a difference between I'm just going to let it go and forget about it. There's a difference from that, and there's a difference between forgiving and letting it go. Because it's in that process of forgiving that God's grace comes on us, because we're in His Word and we're being faithful to who He called us to be, that His grace rests upon us. His Spirit fills us and gives us strength to forgive and to let go. Uh-oh. I only have 17 more pages, Maggie. I'm joking. So repeat after me. Forgiveness releases us. Sorry. Forgiveness releases us from past hurts. That flows a little better, right? Forgiveness releases us from past hurt. Point number three is forgiveness restores relationship. So when Joseph's brother stood before him, he didn't condemn him, like I said. He wept and he hugged him. He lavished them with gifts. He forgave, and through forgiveness, his family was restored. Chains were broken, healing and restoration took place. Forgiveness not only ends bitterness, it reopens the door for reconciliation and blessing. Do you have any broken relationships with family? Maybe with just a friend, a close friend or something. There are times when we've been hurt so much, we should be creating a healthy boundary, and that's okay. But at some point, our goal should be to restore relationship. If we don't forgive them, we could still have a healthy boundary, like, you've hurt me too many times. I'm going to have some boundaries here. I'm not going to allow you to continue to hurt me, but I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to let the offense go. And I'm going to love you, but there's some boundaries there. At some point, you know, forgiveness will reopen the door in this process of healing where we can reconcile with them, where we can have relationship with them again. Matthew 16, verses 14 through 15. For if you forgive others for your transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Check this out. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. It's through the act of forgiving that Joseph completely restores his family. And as I mentioned earlier, forgiveness is one of the hardest things we can do. It goes against our flesh. It goes against what the world says we should do and how we should treat others. It's not easy, but through our relationship with Jesus Christ, through the power of His Spirit, it is attainable. We can forgive. Repeat after me. Forgiveness brings freedom and restores relationships. It brings freedom and restores relationships. At a quick glance, the story of Joseph, it seems harsh. He's got highs and lows, but it's harsh. Be sold into slavery by your brothers, be falsely accused, be thrown into prison, be forgotten and left in prison. I tell you, one day is too many days in prison for me. I don't know about you. I don't want to go there. Doug shared a story, he spent a couple nights, but it wasn't prison, it was just jail, right? I've taken people to jail, temporary, they have to go see a judge, and I don't like it down there. It's not fun. One day is too many, so Joseph was left in prison. He served as a slave in Egypt for 13 years. And it was about 22 years from the time of Joseph's dream till God fulfilled the dream, till God fulfilled the promise. 22 years. Are you going through something? Has God spoken into your life some promises or given you purpose, and it just hasn't come to fruition yet? It took 22 years of God working with Joseph. It's this process of growing and maturing us. We tend to go, Lord, you said, so let's do it already. But he knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows that it's a process of learning. It's a process of growing. It's a process of maturing. So let's be patient. And let's be seeking after God. But we see that Joseph's story, it's not about its harshness. It's about God's victory. Last week, Pastor Doug was preaching and he said, you're not a victim, you're a victor. We're not called to be victims, we're called to be victors. We're called to find victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and our walk with Him. We're not victims, we're victors. The power of forgiveness leads to victory. It breaks the chains of bondage. The bondage to sin, to bitterness, to resentment, to anger, to hate, to pain, to the past. It breaks it. Joseph accomplished God's purpose for his life and for his family because God was with him and he chose to forgive. Is God with you? Is God with you? Our job is to choose to forgive. And God will use us. He'll accomplish His plan, His purpose in and through us. Do you want to live a victorious life in and through Jesus Christ? Do you want to be set free from the bondage of unforgiveness and all the baggage that comes with it? So let's choose to love and let's choose to forgive. Jesus said the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. It is through forgiveness that we live out our love for God and for others. Love God. Love others as yourself. That means we forgive when they wrong us. Forgiveness is the afterthought. I'm going to ask you a few questions for your response. Ask you to come forward if you're responding to any of those questions. If you don't feel comfortable coming forward, you can stay in your seats. Just let somebody know we're going to pray for you. But if you have anything that you need prayer for, anything that you need healing for, any struggle that you're going through, you're welcome to come. We'll pray for you. We'll minister for you. My question for you today is, do you have any unforgiveness towards someone? Is there someone you need to forgive? Do you need help loving and forgiving? There's been people in my life that I needed help to love them. And it's a good thing because Doug's here today. I'm sure. There's been people in my life that I've needed help. Do you need help loving them and forgiving them? Do you want victory? Do you want to be set free from the bondage of past hurts?